I'm Christy Grainer, and I'm here with Rebecca Ribnick.
Hey, Christy.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
It's summer in Minnesota.
Price.
What's not to be good?
These are the days that we live for.
Yeah. And this is season 4 of our podcast. It's just, wow, we've got 4 years into it. You have edited 3 seasons and you're heading into your 4th.
Yeah, which, you know, if you're out there and you love editing podcasts.
She's ready to hand the baton. But I appreciate that you've done a great job.
And thank you.
I'm looking forward to this 4th year. You know, 4 is a cool number in dreams and in other things.
Tell me why.
Because it represents the kind of the 4 corners of the earth and God's creative work. He created everything.
Yeah.
So all of creation... and God being creative, and we're created in his image, so we're creative. It's just a cool number.
Absolutely.
So this is going to be a creative and a good year.
I really feel the Lord on that. I felt the Lord on creativity lately. I've been thinking a lot that, man, wouldn't it be awesome if you can look at someone and say, that must be a Christian because they love so well and they are so creative.
Yep.
Those Amen. Are just such characteristics of our God.
And I'm looking forward to interpreting some dreams with you today.
Yeah, talk about a creative way that God still speaks to us.
Mm-hmm. And you know, God gave us our imaginations. He created everything about us, including our imagination. So we do not need to be afraid of our imagination. It just needs to be sanctified and kept pure and used the way God wants our imagination to be used. But that's where we get our dreams. That's where our dreams come into us.
Yeah, and even our daydreams too. The things that, yeah. The ideas and the things that become concrete things, they begin there too.
God bless the daydreamers. I love it. But I've been dreaming a lot. Have you been dreaming?
I have been dreaming quite a bit lately.
Yeah, I really have been dreaming a lot. And a lot of my dreams have had to do with people who are famous. So I thought today we'll talk about somebody famous shows up in my dream. Somebody I really don't know well. I might know them. I might have met them, but I don't know them well. And in real life, but in dream life, they show up as a prominent part of my dream. So that usually means something very significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's dive in.
Yeah, let's dive in. Let's start with your dream.
Yeah.
And I just want to remind all of our listeners that there's a kind of a process we walk through, and I'll talk you through it as we go. But we love for dreamers to give us a title to their dream, because that kind of distills everything right into a tells us what it is. And then we want to walk through the dream. So I'll tell the dream back to you after you tell me the dream. So how about if we start there?
Sounds good. This dream kind of has three distinct scenes. The first scene is some place where people are gathered. And I say, you know, I'm going to have lunch with 3 presidents in the next 3 months. I just get up and say it. And then the dream shifts and I'm in. And I actually have no expectation at that time that will...
But you just speak it out.
I just say it out. I'm just like, I'm going to have lunch with 3 presidents in the next 3 months. Just a crazy thing to say. And the dream shifts, and I am driving with my dad. I'm not quite sure, kind of maybe towards our cabin, middle of nowhere, don't really recognize where I am. We make an unexpected stop at this really busy Chinese place. For lunch, there's this random Chinese restaurant in the middle of wherever we are. And I don't really like American Chinese food. I like legit Chinese food, but American Chinese food is way down on my list of things I enjoy. And my dad likes it. I don't like it. So I'm frustrated with him. Like, why?
And is your dad driving the car?
I don't remember who's driving. He probably was.
Okay.
But I'm just like frustrated. Like, here I am someplace in the middle of nowhere. I don't really want to be here. Eating food I don't like. Like, he knows me well enough to know that this is not... There's so many
my
great
choice,
foods.
My
I would
favorite
choose
choice
something else. Yeah. And there's this really long line full of people. And I'm like, okay, well, get in the line. But the line moves pretty fast. And we get to the front. And I don't even know. I haven't, like, made up my mind what to order. So I just say, I'll have whatever the woman in front of me has. I'll just eat that. And the restaurant lady, she's like, oh, that's really spicy, are you okay with that? I'm like, oh yeah, I love really spicy, I'm happy about that. And my dad, he orders a Coors Light for the man behind us. My dad doesn't drink, so I was actually really surprised.
So he didn't drink it, he gave it to the guy behind you,
right? Okay. He doesn't drink it and he gives it to the guy behind us. And I'm just confused by why I'm here, why my dad bought this guy a drink. I'm just confused. Scene changes, and it's a lunch break from I think our graduation from ministry school, and I leave and I go to this cafeteria with some friends. I don't recognize the friends. I just know I'm with a group of friends. We grab a table and President Obama comes over and he's like, "Hey, I got to make space for Michelle." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I'm like, "It's President Obama."
He comes to your table.
Yeah, of course he does. And he makes space for him and he and his wife. And I'm awed. I'm starstruck that President Obama has come over to sit at my table. And then President Clinton comes up, and President Clinton comes over and he brings in somebody else with him. I can't remember if it's President, I think it's President Biden. So a third president comes, and I get up to help show President Clinton where to get the food and whatever. And I go over to the line and help him get some food. And I go to get him something to drink, get him water from a soda fountain, but it won't come out as water. Like it's, you know, it's from soda fountains. Sometimes it's hard to get like clear water and it won't come out. So he just says, "Oh, I'll just drink tea." So I get him tea, iced tea, and I bring it to the table. And there I am with President Obama, President Biden, and President Clinton. I'm like, wow, I'm having lunch with three presidents.
And that's the end of the dream.
That's the end of the dream.
Okay. So let me just talk about the dream to you, the dreamer. I'm going to tell it back to you first and ask you a few questions. What would you title the overall dream?
Lunch with the presidents.
Lunch with the presidents. So that, as the interpreter, that tells me that is really what there was a lot of weight on for you. And of course, that's a big deal. You're eating with three famous people. So you are, in the first part of the dream, you're just standing up with some people and you think it might be like graduation. No, graduation was at the end, mm-hmm. the lunch. That's okay. Right. So you're just standing up with a bunch of people and you just make a declaration. So I am going to, in the next 3 months, I am going to have lunch with three presidents. Okay. Next scene, you are with your dad driving somewhere and probably going to your cabin or somewhere that's pretty rural. And you end up at a Chinese restaurant and you're not thrilled about it because American Chinese food doesn't do much for you. It's not definitely not your first choice. And you know that your dad knows that. And you're not too happy that he brought you there. But you get in line and you don't know what you're going to order. And the line moves pretty fast. And you just say, "I'll just get whatever that lady in front of me got." And the lady said, "Well, it's spicy. And do you want spicy?" And you go, "Oh, yeah, I love spicy food." So then you feel better about that. But then your dad orders a beer, a Coors beer, and hands it to the guy behind him. And you think, that is really strange. I don't know why my dad's doing that. And then that's the end of that scene. Right. And then the third scene, you are in a cafeteria or something. It's like you've just finished with probably the graduation of ETS, the Emerged Transformation School that's at our school. Rebecca's a big part of that. And so you've just finished with graduation. You're sitting there having a lunch, but it's not necessarily your Chinese food. It's different. Okay. And all of a sudden, Barack Obama comes walking up to you and says, "I need to make room for Michelle here." Right. And you're just like, okay. And you move over and you make room.
Yeah.
And then President Clinton comes and he plans to sit down and make room for him. And then he brings with him Joe Biden. And so all three of these men are sitting with you. And President Clinton needs some help getting his lunch. So you help him with his lunch. And then you're trying to get him a glass of water, pure water, and it won't come out pure. So he says, "I'll take a cup of tea." So you get him tea. And that's the end of the dream. So another thing we want to do is weigh the dream. So parts that have just real importance. And what I'm discerning, when you have a dream with three parts like this, you interpret each part individually so that you get the fullness of what God's saying in each part of the dream. Like there's individual dream, but then you put them together like
a puzzle.
Like a puzzle or like a train that has got different cars. They're separate, but then you connect them. So the first part is just you're getting up and you're speaking and you're saying things. So what you speak out is important. And you know the importance of words, but the Lord is reinforcing for you. Start speaking out what you want to see happen. Greater things than you ever imagined. If you speak it out, things are going to happen. So the Lord's encouraging you to speak out some things, declare some things over yourself, over your life. Okay. Second scene, you're with your dad. There may be some levels. Sometimes dreams are like parfaits. They've got different layers, mm-hmm. but mainly your father represents Father God. And Father God has you on a journey, and it's not where you would want to be. And he's got you doing stuff you wouldn't necessarily want to do, but you are just ordering what the person ahead of you has, what you see in front of you, you know, someone you're following, and it's going to be, you really actually enjoy the meal, but you still don't understand your father's behavior. You don't understand. The Lord knows that about you, and he knows that you would not have chosen necessarily the exact path you're on, but it is good, and you're going to get something that you do enjoy, but he understands that you don't always understand what he's up to and why he does what he does. That's the Lord. Okay. So that's part two and part three. So these are three Democratic presidents. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean to you? Why would the Lord use Democrats? Why didn't he put George Bush in there? Why didn't he put, so that you have, we want to ask why these three Democratic mm-hmm. presidents and not a mixture of Democrat, Republican, or all Republicans. I mean, he's saying something specific. So what does that mean to you as the dreamer?
I feel very honored that I would have three Democratic presidents with me. So I know sometimes that the Republican right is so loud in the church. So to be a Christian that three Democrats would choose to sit with feels like a great privilege.
Okay. So people that the Christians may not generally honor the way they should honor them.
Sure, it's just kind of that evangelical right block that can be very loud.
And may not even disagree with, or you may not agree with their politics sometimes or the decisions they make, mm-hmm. but you honor the man, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Super, super passionate about honoring the office of yep. president, regardless
and so
of sitting there.
You are helping them to sit at a meal. So there is something in that. It's probably not those men specifically. Of course, you always can pray for those men and declare good things over those men, but it represents that whole move of men and women that believe those things and hold those things in high value that those guys would represent, mm-hmm. that they are coming to the table. And that means they're in the discussion. You are serving them. You are feeding them. So as a woman of God, you have something to offer them. The word of God, the love of the Lord. You have food, spiritual food to offer them. And what some of them are, when you're trying to get Bill Clinton pure water, it doesn't come out very pure. So you're not able to get some of the pure things of the Spirit to him, but you are able to get him refreshment.
Right.
So what the Lord's telling you in this is there's a season, and the fact that you think it's a graduation from ETS, you're graduating to a new thing where the Lord is going to use you to bless people who may or may not necessarily expect you to bless them, and you're going to feed them spiritual things and serve them. So if you put that dream all together, the Lord's encouraging you to declare amazing things, and he will take you places, and he knows that you don't necessarily want to go these places, but you will get what you want and you will be blessed, even though you don't understand what the Lord's up to. And you are going to be serving people that may be different than a lot of Christians would serve, but you have an opportunity to honor, to bless, and to serve them and feed them spiritually. And so that's pretty much what the dream
Amen.
Is about. So tell me, as a dreamer, does that feel, what I ask people is, how does that resonate with you?
Yeah. I think that lands, that definitely lands. It's encouraging that God sees you and he knows you, and he values the things on your life. Like, it's always great to hear that from the Lord.
And so you have an opportunity. It's as a dreamer, then you don't just want to sit back passively and say, okay, Lord, do it. You know, just wait. Mm-hmm. You are to engage. So you need to engage and walk that out and partner with the Lord. And what I encourage dreamers to do is continue the conversation with the Lord. It's a conversation. He hasn't just thrown this dream on your lap and it's like your problem now to figure out how it's going to happen. You continue the conversation. So, Lord, I'm listening. Thank you for this dream. Tell me more. And he'll open doors. He'll direct you. Cool.
Amen.
Good.
Hey, friends. Are you hungry to see more of God in your life? Do you know that there's more and you're not quite sure how to get there? Well, good news. We have something that happens annually at Dare to Believe called Emerge Transformation School.
ETS is a 9-month course that meets once a week with 5 extra weekends thrown in there that is designed like a greenhouse to see acceleration and growth in your faith walk. There's in-class teaching, activations, and a lot of awesome people who will believe with you and for you as you're learning to walk it out. If anything inside of you is hungry for more, if you just know that there's another level to access, check out ETS on the Dare to Believe website, dtbmn.org. Look forward to seeing you this fall.
Well, I also had a couple dreams with some famous people in them. A little bit shorter dreams, but in my one dream, you know who Danny and Danny Silk and
Sherry Silk.
Sherry Silk.
Sure do.
Yeah. So in this dream.
But some people might not.
They are people who have a ministry called Keep Your Love On. Danny wrote a lot of books. Keep Your Love On.
Culture of Honor. That he's got a lot of books.
Beautiful and Free or something like that for regarding women. I mean, just a lot about relationships. He was the family pastor and one of the senior leaders at Bethel out in Reading for many years. He now lives in Sacramento. But just all about how to do healthy relationships a biblical way.
Right.
And that Christians should be the healthiest relationships, and they're not. So let's get going, Christians. So let's get our act together.
Yeah.
So anyway, in this dream, I see Sherry Silk. It's like, hey, how you doing? I'm just somewhere. And I see her, and she has this nice pair of boots. They're kind of like mid-calf boots, look a little bit like army boots, and they're black, and they're very sturdy. And she said, well, Danny has made these boots, and he'd like you to have them. I'm like, wow, that is so cool.
So cool. Yeah, Danny Silk's making you boots.
Yeah. And then I take the boots and enjoy them. And Danny is somewhere, you know, off in the distance. And I wave to him like and say thank you. But and then I have a conversation with Sherry. But it's pretty nondescript conversation. But they're my boots and they're mine. So and all that is, that's kind of like a gifting and being given in the spirit. He's giving me something to walk in that is, and shoes represent what you walk in, the peace of God, you release in the peace of God everywhere you go. So it's got something to do with having peace, but it's what I walk in, okay? So I've been given the ability to walk in very sturdy, pretty strong, kind of combat boots. But they are from the perspective of honoring people, culture of honor, yeah. Healthy relationships, that type of thing. And so it's just a new season. I'm being given something for the new season.
That's great.
I know. It's simple. But it's the, so Danny and Sherry represent the Lord.
It's what giving they me represent. These
gifts. It's got, I'm not going to run into them. I'm not going to have a conversation with them necessarily about this. There's just the Lord is giving me something. But the way I know it's something that is about relationships is because it came from those people right. who that's what their lives represent.
Real life story?
Yeah.
Sherry Silk gave me a bed one time.
Oh, wow.
That actually happened. That wasn't a dream. So.
That's cool. You should have kept that bed.
That was pretty hard. They were getting rid of one. I was a student. And somehow I ended up with it.
Nice. Nice. So another dream I had with a famous person in, Joanna Gaines was in the...
JoJo.
Yes, JoJo. So you tell me... Well, I know what Joanna represents to me, but you tell me what you think Joanna might represent.
And she's so awesome. She and Chip, they really... Well, I think they represent... family super well, and of course fixer upper. Mm-hmm. They take things that are decrepit and have little value right now and they make it something absolutely wonderful and yep. beautiful.
Yeah, that's what she represents to me. Is I think we've watched every episode of Fixer Upper multiple times.
I need more shiplap in this house then, yes. if that's the case.
But taking an existing structure, so that's important. Taking something that already exists that worked really well for the season it was created in, but it has now become obsolete and it needs to be refreshed for the next season. That it needs to be brought up to speed, up to, okay. That makes sense? And that's really absolutely. What I think she represents to me. So in this dream, I'm just hanging out with Joanna. I mean, it's cool.
As you do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're chatting and we're just
Joanna, if you're
best
listening.
Friends. Yes. Let's make this prophetic. I declare that I'm going to meet Joanna Gaines. Yeah. I'm going to speak that out like you did with the president.
Yeah,
within
come
the
on.
Next 3 months.
Yeah, Joe, you're welcome up here in Minnesota. We'd love to have you.
But I meet her and we're just chatting. And I think I told you, you had your hair in braided pigtails last night when we were at a worship night. So she had her hair in braided pigtails like you were wearing. And I don't know if that's significant. I don't know. It's just more casual. She wasn't looking real formal. She was just more casual and had a baseball cap on, braided pigtails. And she's telling me, you know, and I am, and she was kind of saying it to me like I knew there was an underlying meaning, but, and I'm going, I'm seriously dating Bethel in Reading. I'm like, oh, okay. And it just obviously went past me. I didn't understand what she was talking about. And then the next thing I know, I'm in another place meeting with a bunch of people. It's very social. The people I don't know very well. And we're just kind of chatting, but there's this young couple and they're clearly very in love. And they use the exact same phrase that she had used. And we're just kind of dating and they're kind of, but I know that there's they're actually, and I knew in the dreams, you know how you just know things,
sure,
that what they were actually telling me is they were getting married. And so it hits me like, oh, that's what she meant. That's exactly what she meant. I didn't get it. So I went back to Joanna and I said, so were you trying to tell me that you're getting married to Bethel Redding? Is that what you're telling me? And she said, well, actually, yeah. Chip and I are considering becoming senior pastors of Bethel in Reading. And I'm like, well, that is so cool. And we just sit and we talk and we spend this time together and really nothing else eventful happens. It's not the end of the dream, but nothing really else happens in the dream.
So you woke up and you said, oh my goodness, Chip and Joanna are going to take over Bethel Reading. I need to tell everyone.
Yeah.
Because clearly that's what God was telling me last night.
I should put it out on Elijah list, maybe.
Well, that's what people do though when someone shows up.
Because they think it's literal.
A literal translation would be Chip and Joanna are taking over as senior pastors at Bethel Reading.
Right. But as I sat with the Lord, and it was funny because I have to remove myself from the dream as the dreamer and become the interpreter. So it took me a little while to kind of make that shift. And I'm sitting with the Lord going, all right, so what are you talking about? And really, it's an opportunity for me to engage and pray into what the Lord is doing. And what her becoming the senior pastor, basically over there, is that there is going to be changes coming, not only at Bethel, but what does Bethel represent? It's more metaphorical. What do these things represent? So Joanna represents fixing something up so that it is relevant for the new season.
Right.
And Bethel, to me, represents revival and things that are healthy in the spirit and things that have good fruit and things that are teaching people how to interact with the Lord. And one of the healthiest churches, not a perfect church, by any means, but one of the healthiest places and the best fruit I've seen come out of a church.
Right.
So that's what it represents. And so what I believe the Lord is saying is we're heading into a season where the Lord's doing an upgrade and a fixer-upper, a new look to that move of God, for what God is doing. And it is going to be refreshed for this season. So it's relevant for the season that we're in. And that's very exciting.
That's a great thing.
Isn't it?
That's a great dream.
Come on, God. Yeah.
Put some shiplap on that revival.
Yeah. So that's a good dream. Yeah.
A great dream.
Yep.
It very different interpretation. And that, you know, just listening to it, that sounds like, that sounds like God. That sounds like what he wants to do. That feels like a message he wants to communicate, as opposed to, oh my goodness, Chip and Joanna are going to take over at Bethel, which is how a lot of times when we have famous people pop up in our dreams, we think it's literal.
Anything in our dreams.
Not just famous
they're
people.
Literal and they're direct prophetic dreams, but I would say 85 to 90% of the time it's metaphorical and the Lord's talking to us about our own life.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say that this one is metaphorical.
Yeah. And you know, I believe that he's talking on a more global level about this move of God and what God's up to. But I also believe that he's talking about me and about Dare to Believe, and that we're going to be going through some facelifts and some fixing up too. And there's changes coming, and it's all good. Because does Joanna ever do anything that doesn't look amazing?
No,
I mean, it's all good.
She's awesome. Everything she touches is great.
It's up to date now. It's going to be up to date. It's not going to be the old style ministry.
Amen.
So I have a dream from one of our ministry school students.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's a cool dream. She called it Calming the One at the Front Porch. And it's a dream like your dream was, with three parts. So we're going to interpret each part individually and then connect them together for the full interpretation.
That sounds, I was nodding, but that's nonverbal. Great for a podcast. Yes, that sounds like a great idea, Christy.
Okay, so I'm just going to read the dream and then we'll talk about it. Scene one, I'm walking up to a front porch of a house that I know is mine. I feel like I'm with someone, but I can't see anyone. It feels like summer, but the front porch is covered in ice, 3 to 4 feet thick. So pretty deep ice.
Yeah.
There's a tunnel in the ice from the front steps of the porch to the front door, and there are presents in the tunnel, and I know they are my birthday presents. So that's a good dream. Interesting dream. Mm-hmm. So we'll interpret that part first. So the question is, you know, what's the title? And calming the one on the front porch is the title she gave us, but you know, we want to weigh what's important in the dream, what has some weight. And first of all, the front porch is the house that she knows is hers. So the Lord's talking to her about her life. That's important. She's with someone, but she can't see anyone. So it's the Lord's with her in this.
Right.
And, you know, however that looks for her. It feels like it's summer, so it's warm weather, but the front porch is covered in 4 feet of ice. And what is ice? It's frozen water. And what is water in metaphorically? It's the presence of the Spirit.
Right.
So there is something in her life in order for her to get into everything she's called to live in that she's got to get through that's frozen. So it's really religion. Religion freezes the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Religion, the Spirit is present in her upbringing, in what she's taught, what she's living in. And some of that would be back porch. Front porch is usually the future, but I think this is talking to her about right now because she's trying to get into her home. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's trying to get her through this frozen place. So the Lord understands that she's in a kind of a religious setting. People don't totally get the gifts that she's called right. to walk in, but there's a presence of the Spirit yeah, there.
It's the Spirit just kinda, is there, just not as
it's kind of able, hard,
as fluid, as
exactly,
would be
exactly. But there is a tunnel, so the Lord's made a way for her, which is huge, and there's gifts for her in there.
Yeah, this is great.
So it is really good. So the first part of that dream is that she's in a little bit of a religious situation. There is some spiritual stuff present, but it's hard. It's frozen. It's not all that it could be, but the Lord has made a way for her and that there are gifts for her there.
Yeah.
So that's good. Second part of the dream, scene two, I'm then on the front porch with my husband and the ice is gone. Someone else, again, I can't see them, tells me Tony made a zip line. I can see now that there is a zip line from the front porch to a point out in the yard where it meets the street. My husband jumps on the zip line, and at the same time, I see another man at the edge of the yard also jump on the zip line, and he's coming straight at my husband. I started yelling at the guy to stop, but it was too late. I watched my husband and this guy collide. They were okay, but they bumped into each other hard. Okay, so the main points of that are she's with her husband, and is her husband represent her husband in the natural, or does he represent the Lord? Probably a little of both. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's important that the ice is gone. So she's making progress. There's still that person that she can't see is still with her, but is telling her about this zip line that's been constructed that her husband, so the Lord has constructed a zip line for her. Easy access from the street is where everybody else goes, right to the front. There's no hard journey. There's no tunnels to mm-hmm. go through. It's really easy access.
Yeah.
Okay. And what the Lord is doing, there are other people who are going to bump into that and not like it and collide with it. And it's mm-hmm. going to be, everybody going to be okay, but it's going to be a bit.
It'll hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. It's not safe necessarily, a little bit dangerous. And that may mean that her husband's going to bump up against some things, but mostly I think it's what the Lord's doing in her life that's going to bump up against some of the people that are around her.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what the second part of the dream is telling her. And then the third part is I'm with my husband on the porch, the third scene, and the other zipline guy and his wife are there standing at the threshold of my front door. My front door is open. He's just on the outside of the threshold and his wife is just inside the threshold. The man was angry at me and for yelling at him, and then he told me how evil we were to our old wheelchair-bound disabled trash collector. And I love it when stuff like that comes up in dreams, because that's totally a metaphor.
Yeah.
The man was angry, and I said to him in a very calm voice, "I'm sorry for yelling at you. When I saw you getting on the zip line, I thought you two would collide and get really hurt, and I yelled in panic. I wasn't intending to yell to be mean, and I'm really sorry that I yelled. I was just worried for you, and actually that garbage collector only worked this route for 3 to 4 weeks after we moved in, so we don't even know him." After I said this, the man calmed down.
Wow.
Yep. So that's a very interesting dream, or part of the dream. So again, she's with her husband, and the man who she doesn't know who it is, but there's somebody, some person that is there, and they're at the front door. So even though she's collided and had these bump in run-ins with people and run-ins with maybe a spirit when she's going through this moving into her house, those people are staying engaged with her, which is very good. And the wife is inside the threshold. The husband is outside the threshold. So some people have actually, in that relationship, have stepped into what she's walking in and stepped into her life and what she's called to do. Some are kind of right there considering it. They're right there. They're right at the edge.
They're in the doorway.
But they're very upset with how she has, things she said and done in the process, because she's been trying to make sure everybody's okay, and they're misreading what she's saying and doing. Yeah. And that's really what the Lord's talking to her about. But if she has this conversation with them and treats them honorably and talks it out with them, things will be okay. The trash collector piece is, people saw how she has done some healing, getting rid of spiritual garbage, getting rid of the junk on her life, and have not appreciated how she's done it.
Yeah.
Not appreciated the ministry she's been involved in, not appreciate how that's happened. So she's just actually has to have a calm conversation and talk to people about what she's doing and why she's doing it and how she's doing it. And people will be able to tolerate that, or will be able to accept it. So if you put this all together, the Lord's, it's a good dream. It's about her. And the Lord's talking to her about what she's been through and trying to get through this tunnel of ice. She's been through a religious environment that had an appreciation for the gifts and the move of the Spirit, but was a little bit frozen in what they were willing to do, yet the Lord still had gifts for her. He has provided a fast way for her to get right into what she's called to do, and but she's trying to take care of everybody else in the situation, and people aren't necessarily watching out for each other. They might be a little bit reckless. But she needs to be careful how she speaks about that, because she has hurt some people with the way she's used her words. They don't understand that they have watched what she's gone through and misunderstood what was actually going on. And so she needs to have calm conversations and maybe speak out in a different way about what she's walking in and what she's walking through, because people are right at the threshold, ready to walk in and ready to get involved.
Yeah, so that's really good.
It's a very good dream.
Great dream.
Yeah.
You know, that's, again, people representing people. You always want to take a look, like, is that, you said her husband could be the Lord or her husband.
And maybe both. At the same time, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So there's that element too. I think with the famous people, it tends to be a lot more metaphorical than the people in your life. But always want to look, see who is this person represent? And then ask the Lord, have that conversation. Is there something for my husband here? Is there something for the person that I know here?
And do not be afraid to ask the Lord questions. Again, what we want people to do is think of a title for their dream that will help them to get a better interpretation. Sure. Title it. Because if you have to come up with a title, it's like you pull the most meaningful thing out of the dream. Have you had any more dreams with interesting people in them? You
know, oh my goodness, yes, I have. And it's probably always so fun.
Usually just, I mean, I've heard enough of Rebecca's dreams, so they're usually gorgeous Latin tennis star men.
You're describing Juan Martín del Potro.
Yes, she's always getting married to him in her dreams. Or not always, but there's been
a number. He proposes a lot, though.
Yeah, and it's he represents, but what he represents
is... One of these days,
is,
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, yeah. The Lord is inviting her and wooing her, and that's really what that's all about. But what kind of... Have you had any
No, Delpo like has not been present in my dreams.
And what is the name of this guy?
Juan Martín del Potro.
Career. And you said he's got some really talented kids.
No, he doesn't have kids.
Oh, he's single?
Yeah, come on,
Christy. Okay, who are you telling me about that?
Do you think I go after married men in my dreams?
Well, the Lord, if the Lord's representing somebody, it doesn't, it's irrelevant.
You're talking about Roger Federer.
Roger Federer. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Who has very talented.
No, no dreams with Roger Federer. But, you know, I've had, just this last week, I had two little real quick brief dreams with two different pop stars. One, a current pop star, one, a former pop star. And the first one, I was at the church I grew up in, a big non-dom church. I was in the balcony, and getting ready to preach was Avril Lavigne. Now, if you were alive in the 90s, the early 2000s,
I was alive. Listening to the top 40. If you were a teenager in the 90s, is what you should say.
I guess, yeah, I don't know. No, I was a teenager.
Were you a teen?
Yeah, I guess barely. Avril Lavigne.
Preteen?
Yeah, so yeah, like 12-year-old.
If you were a
girl.
Young teen, preteen girl in the 90s, you'll
if
know who this
if
is.
Your jeans ever touched behind your heel, they ever were that big and baggy. Avril Lavigne was a pop star back then. She sang a song called Complicated. Why'd you have to go and make things so complicated? So she's getting ready to preach, and the AV guy comes up to me. He's like, Rebecca, we found a video of yours. We're going to play that first. And I kind of was like, oh, I hope she's okay with that. Like, she's going to preach, but they're going to show something of mine first. I don't want her to feel, you know, slighted. So I go over to her, and she's just super nervous. She's super nervous about preaching. So I'm like, oh, let me just pray for you. Let's just, also, this is going to happen. Are you okay with that? She's like, I'm so glad they're showing your video. I was like, okay, can I pray for you? She's like, yeah. So I pray for her, and the presence of the Lord comes, and just he powerfully ministers to her in that time. And then she gets up on stage and preaches. So.
And they never showed your video.
I think they did. I don't remember. It wasn't
relevant.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would you title this dream?
Praying for Avril. Yeah.
Avril?
Avril, like April, but with a V.
Avril.
Yeah.
Praying for Avril. And so
I'm like, where is she now? I got to do it. That's, yeah, it's been like 20 years since
I
thought
of this
girl.
But what she represents to you is what's important.
Right.
Okay. So you're in the balcony of the church you grew up mm-hmm. in, and the AV guy comes up to you mm-hmm. and says, we're going to show a video of you. We found a video of you, so we're going to show this video before this lady preaches, Avril preaches.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you realize, I wonder if she's okay with that. I want to double check with her. So you go down to where she is. Next
she's upstairs too.
Oh, she's up in the balcony too. So you go over to her and you say, you know, they're doing this. Are you okay with this? And she's very nervous. And she said, absolutely, I'm really nervous, but I'm glad they're showing your video. And you pray for her mm-hmm. and the presence of the Lord comes. Mm-hmm. And then are you still in the balcony?
Yeah, I think so.
And then she goes and she preaches and does a great job.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would say that she represents actually that song. I don't know if she's a one-hit wonder. Sorry, Avril, you probably had some others. But her song, Complicated, is really
why'd
what
you have
I...
to go make this so complicated?
Right.
And so... So you're up in the balcony, which is significant because you're not down in the front. You're not in the main part of the congregation. You're up in the balcony. You're overseeing things from a higher place. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Lord is showing you some things about your upbringing in faith and where you grew up and where you were taught from a higher level. And the song she sings about it not being complicated is what the message is to the church. Why did you have to make this so complicated? Right. It's not complicated.
It's not complicated.
You know, what Jesus did, what we can walk in, it is not complicated. And so that's what the Lord is releasing. But some of the people who are releasing that message are nervous. Your message, Rebecca, is about healing and hope and the presence of the Lord and what is available to us all. And so your role in this next season will be to have that message released so that the message of it not being complicated can be heard and the presence of the Lord can be there. So the Lord's telling you about a new season you're walking into where you're going to be releasing and you're going to be not just releasing, but reinforcing this message that it's not complicated and helping it to be released in the body of
Amen.
Christ.
That mm-hmm. sounds great.
Yeah. And in the mainstream church.
Yeah.
It's not just the body of Christ. It's the mainstream church because that's where you grew up.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. The next dream was another pop star. But so I was at, I think, my parents' house. and there is a scavenger hunt going on. There's these five envelopes that we had to find, and everybody's looking all over for these envelopes. And I think I found a couple of them or whatever. We're just kind of looking. Everybody's excited and looking for these envelopes, and they're looking places where I'm like, oh, they're not going to be my, they wouldn't hide up there. You're looking in the wrong spot. And while people are busy looking for these five envelopes, I see this pop star, who is like huge globally, a K-pop star who, probably wouldn't be recognized in the US, but globally huge, massive star. And I just stop and kind of look at the rest of the room like, what? Do you guys see who's sitting on the couch here? Do you see who this is? And she's just kind of off by herself, just sitting there. And I'm like, well, why are you looking for, this is the treasure. Like, why are you looking for the envelopes? I already found the treasure. And I don't remember talking to her. I just get to pray for her. And again, the presence of God comes super, super strong. And it was just a really powerful encounter. And it filled me. I was super, super excited to get to minister to her and see God impact her life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's a really good dream. It's about mm-hmm. you. And what would you title that?
Praying for the K-pop star.
Praying for the K-pop. And if someone doesn't know what
Korean pop. Yeah. Go look at like the global top 100 and you'll see a lot of
Korean music. But a famous young woman that mm-hmm. most of the world would know.
Yes.
So you are in your parents' house mm-hmm. and there's a bunch of people there and they're doing a scavenger hunt. Mm-hmm. And there's these envelopes that they're trying to find. There's five envelopes and they're trying to find them. And you're kind of like, you guys, the places you're looking are ridiculous. What mm-hmm. are you doing? And nobody's finding any envelopes, any clues.
Yeah.
And then you kind of notice out of the side of your eye that there's this woman sitting there that you recognize as this famous singer. And right there, and you're wondering why is everybody looking for these clues when the treasure is right here? And you sit down with her again and pray for her and encourage her. And so I just think there's an influence you're going to have on famous people, and the treasure being the Lord, but there are famous people who the Lord's going to give you influence to talk about. And people are searching for spiritual things. Mm-hmm. People are, and it's not necessarily even the body of Christ. It's in your father's house, but your father's house is the world. The Lord created everyone.
That's good. That's really good.
And he cares about everyone. And the fact that this is a K-pop star and not an American star, right. Something about the world.
Yep.
And the world being the stage. And people are spiritually searching for clues to how do I get to the treasure of who, what life is about, how I'm going to be fulfilled, what is my reason for existence, that kind of thing. And they're not finding anything. They're not even finding a clue. They don't have a clue, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you do realize the treasure that's right there. And the Lord wants you to focus on blessing the treasure, the Lord's presence, but also some famous people, I believe, and just releasing the blessing, and things will happen. I mean, in the dream, it doesn't sound like anybody else besides you knew this was a treasure right there, but so you do mm-hmm. know things that other people don't know, mm-hmm. but just to bless that and let the presence be released there, even though other people don't recognize it.
Amen.
That's a good dream. That's Those a great good dream. Dreams.
Those are really fun dreams, yeah.
But I love when the Lord sends famous people.
Right.
You know,
two really unexpected ones for me that
yeah.
not...
But they represent something.
Right,
but you knew right away something. What the Lord was saying. Oh, that's yep. what this is to me.
Yep. I mm-hmm. immediately knew that Avril was about complicating the simplicity of the gospel, that God was emphasizing that, and that the being this foreign star was a global thing. If it mm-hmm. had been like Taylor Swift or something, I would have missed that entirely. Mm-hmm. But God was emphasizing the world.
And that people are looking for clues, but they're clueless.
Yeah.
You know, they're not finding it.
They're looking for five. There's five envelopes. They're looking for grace. And people are so busy mm-hmm. trying to find grace. Mm-hmm. It's right there.
It's right there.
Yeah. This is so fun. I love talking about these dreams. And those are just fun dreams to have. It's always great when you wake up and you're like, ooh, I wish I could go back there. That was so fun. And getting to minister to people and see them impacted by the Lord. I would go back to those dreams any day. Like, Chrissy, if people are listening to this and they want to grow in their ability to interpret, do you have any resources or places you can point them?
Yeah, a couple things. If you have a dream you'd like interpreted, we do have a team of interpreters, and you can go to our website, dtbmn.org, and find our place where we have a form to submit a dream, and our team will interpret it and get back to you. So I encourage you to do that. But also, We do have a class that is online that I want to encourage.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And that you will find, you can click, there is information about that on our website as well. But you can also go right to understandingyourdreams.org and take that online class. There's some teaching there.
Yeah, understandingyourdreams.org.
Mm-hmm. And you can find that on the Dare to Believe website as well. So that would be something you watch. It's a video. You watch it. You practice interpreting. We do some teaching at Dare to Believe as well. So I encourage you to get on our email list. If you go to the bottom of the website, put in your name. And we don't send out a lot of emails, but we have a newsletter that goes out monthly that will tell you what kind of classes we've got coming up. So we do a lot of dreams teaching. And then one thing that's really fun that we've just started is a YouTube online interpretation, Christy and Yvette. So one of our dream interpreters, her name is Yvette, and she actually used to be a DJ in Minneapolis for 7 years. So she kind of likes to be online.
She's got good presence, that's
yes,
for sure.
And she's a good dream interpreter. So the second Friday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, we're online for an hour, and we just interpret some dreams, talk about dreams, and so you can submit a dream there, or you can submit a dream to us, and we might interpret it there. Watch that, and I think just listen to dreams, study dreams in scripture.
Yeah, that's a great key. Look at the dreams in scripture.
Do subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's Dare to Believe Ministries is our YouTube channel. So subscribe to that, and you'll get an update on when we're on.
Yeah, that's great. There's a lot of great resources out there. And what I've seen in my own life is when I start valuing and stewarding what God has given me, I start digging into the subject a little bit more and start writing down my dreams. I get more. Mm-hmm. He gives me more. And I'm so encouraged listening to the interpretation of those dreams. So how much more does God want to encourage you, our listener, every night when you mm-hmm. put your head down on the pillow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd like to pray for our
Please
listeners.
Do.
So I just want you to know that you were created to dream. Even if you don't have a lot of dreams or you don't understand your dreams, the Lord still created you to dream. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would bless each and every person listening to this podcast with an increase in their ability to dream, to remember their dreams. I declare protection over their dream life, that it will not be led astray into harmful or distracting or frustrating things, but that they would get a clear understanding of your goodness and your peace and your joy. So I bless you as a dreamer, as an interpreter, to understand God's love for you and to understand the great things that the Lord has for you, and that it's not complicated. I love that word. It's not complicated.
It's not complicated.
So yeah, we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, amen. Christy.
Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for joining us for the Dare to Believe podcast. It's season 4, Rebecca.
Season 4, we made it.
We made it, and it's good.
We are grateful to you, our listeners, and we ask you to go ahead, leave a review, hit subscribe, and please prayerfully consider who would be blessed by this and share it with them. Also, if you're looking for upcoming events, go to dtbmn.org. That's dtbmn.org. Thanks so much, guys.